Well, we're going to continue working through Romans, so let us stand for the Word of God. We're going to be in Romans chapter 2, starting verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, and knoweth his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art set to be a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? That thou preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that breaketh maketh thy boast in the law through the breaking of the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the circumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is the outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, in circumcision, and that of the heart and in the spirit, and not by the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the word of God. Father, we know, Lord, that it is you. It is you that speaks to us through your word. Father, we thank you that we can read your word, that we have Bibles in our hands. But Father, except thou send thy Holy Spirit, Lord, we will not hear what we need to hear. Except thy Holy Spirit blow upon us, Lord, and give us ears to hear and eyes to see, we will not perceive truth within our hearts. And so, Father, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit. God, give us understanding, give us clarity. Let us speak your truth in love, but let us do it for your glory. Father, we want you to be glorified here today. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to be faithful stewards of the word of God. I don't want to speak a word except it be your truth, my Lord. Father, you know our hearts. You know our cares, our anxieties, our fears, all the many things that plague us week by week. And yet, Lord, thou art faithful to your church. Thou art faithful to us, Lord. And Father, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our iniquity. Forgive us for our rebellion. God, just speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, and give us that understanding here today. Let us realize that our salvation is truly of grace through faith and not of ourselves. Yes. Let us understand the power of the gospel and the changed heart, the changed life. And let us be faithful, Lord, and let us be good stewards of your word. So, Father, we commit this time into your hand, and we ask you to speak to us, and we ask you to speak to us truth. And Father, again, if except for the Holy Spirit come down and blow upon us, Lord, we will not hear what we need to hear. So, Father, we love you. We give you glory, and we give you all the glory. We give you praise for all that we have, because we know that every good and perfect gift cometh from you. And we ask you to speak to us, because we want to hear from you in your word and your truth and how it has changed our lives forever. Because a true Christian is a changed heart. And so, Father, we give you glory and we give you praise and we ask you to bless us, the few that are here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we come into verse 17 of Romans 2, we deal with the aspect of the world we've seen as guilty before God. But now we're going to rest a little bit. We're going to change from the Gentile to the Jew for a moment. Because we know that Jews also are guilty before God. I mean, to us that have read the Old Testament, we realize God has provided so much provision for the Jewish people. We realize the Bible says that they are the elect of God. They are his chosen vessel. We understand the Bible speaks quite often about many of those things that God had done for the Jewish people, many warnings that he had given them and told them to follow me with all their heart. And for that's what your word said. And yet we know that they are like us, Lord. Many times we walk away. We don't always do what we're supposed to do. And yet, Father, the Holy Spirit brings great conviction into our heart for us to repent of our sins and say, Jesus Christ, please help me to understand. Please help me to see my sin and that I may repent of it and turn from it and give my whole life and heart to you. But yet, as we come into these verses here, we come to the aspect of the Jewish people, the Jew, the one that believes that a keeping of the law or some kind of work salvation will maintain his salvation before a holy God. To us, we understand that none of us can maintain our salvation before a holy God, for either God saves or no one gets saved. And when God saves, he saves eternally for the glory of himself and for his own pleasure. And we are thankful to that. But as we look here, we realize that we have a contrast that's going to be laid before us once again here in Romans chapter 2, verse 17. We realize as we've been going through the book of Romans, these first three chapters show that the whole world is guilty before God. The whole world has fallen short of the glory of God. But yet by grace through faith, and that faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that he has provided to be the provision, to be the Savior of the world, especially to them that believe, as the Bible says, we are thankful to God to be able to read his word, and we pray that he will give us understanding, he will give us clarity, and we'll realize that our Christianity, our salvation, does not rest in our works, but it rests in his Son, whom he sent to be our Lord and our Savior. And so when you look here, the Bible says, opening up in verse 17, but remember back up into verse 16, remember what the Bible says here. It says, in the day when God shall judge the servants of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. We have to realize that it's talking about all men and women, right? We're not talking about Jew or just Gentile. We're talking about all Jew or Gentile. It doesn't make a bit of difference. The Word of God speaks to us the same way as it speaks to a Jew. Salvation has always been by faith through grace. We understand that. We see that both Old Testament and New Testament. There is not a different dispensation for the Old Testament saint as there is in the New Testament. The same grace saves. To God be the glory, right? And so when we look here, we come into verse 17. And remember, Paul is writing this epistle. He's given us information. He's given us clarity with precision. And we know that we have a very much a doctrinal book that lays before us, open before us. We are thankful for the doctrines of the Word of God. The Bible tells us to be sound in doctrine. The Bible tells us all the time to be unified in doctrine, to understand that the doctrine, that word, is the teachings of the Word of God. So Paul here addresses the Jew. The Jews here are guilty before God. So what does the Bible say when we open up in our text here today? Well, it uses that word behold. And when we look at the word behold, he wants us to have an emphasis here, exactly what he's speaking to, who he's speaking to, the reason that he's speaking to the Jewish people, because you have a bunch of law keepers. We have people today that say, well, I have to do all these things in order to be a Christian. I have to look a certain way, walk a certain way, cut my beard a certain way, or wear a certain hat or a head covering or whatever it may be. But what does the Word of God say? I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to know what God says. Amen. I mean, when I look at the Word of God, I want to say, I know what man says. I know man's ideas. I know his interpretation. But God, I want to know, what do you say? Lord, the Bible makes it very clear that we are to read your Word, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. We are to rightly divide the truth for your glory and for your honor and for your pleasure. You have given us the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, that is continually conforming us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And he's doing it all for the glory of God, for your own purpose and for your grace. So you and I say, to God be the glory. But well, look at it when Paul talks to the Jew here. Now remember, Paul was definitely well instructed in Judaism. He was one of the elite of Judaism. He would be your scholar, your rabbi. He'd be the one you would go to have understanding and information about Judaism, because he was an expert in Judaism. But God intervened in his life and changed his life forever. As you and I remember there in Acts chapter 9, the Damascus Road experience, Paul never went back to what he was. Amen. Paul understood it was wholly by grace and it was all for God's glory and his own purpose. And as he's writing this epistle, who is he writing it to? He's talking to the Jew. Okay? But he's also talking to us. And I think we're going to see that. The Bible says here, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law. I mean, if you've ever had an opportunity to witness to a Jew, they have a way of saying, well, we have to do all these things. We have to rest in the law. God has given the law to the Jew. Matter of fact, sometimes when you talk to Jews, they will say, well, the Bible is very clear that all Jews are going to be saved. Well, my Bible is very clear that not all Jews are going to be saved, right? But God has a remnant, and to God be the glory. We're going to see that as we keep moving through our texts all the way through the book of Romans. But when we look here, Paul says very clearly, thou art called a Jew and resteth in the law, and make it by boast of God. I mean, have you ever known one that sits there and talks about work salvation and all the things he has to do in order to maintain his standing before a holy God. Well, I have to do this and I have to do that. And if you don't, then you're not going to be with God someday. But what does the Bible say? How do we know what God says? Because Paul here is talking to the Jew. He makes very clear, what is the Jew resting in? Well, what's he say? Resteth in the law. He says, listen to me, I'm resting in the law. Well, what does the Jew really do? Well, he only keeps the part of the law that he feels like keeping. But the Bible says that if a man's going to be righteous, he has to keep the whole law, right? And you and I, we can look at the Ten Commandments and we can just sit there. We don't have to go any further. And you and I break the Ten Commandments every day of our life. Because the Bible says that if you break one commandment, you've broken all the commandments. We find that in the book of James. But when we look here, what does he say? He says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and make thy boast of God. I mean, you have people all around us and work salvation. They make their boasts of God as if they know God. And they say, listen to me, in order for you to know God, you need to look like me, act like me, do what I do, dress the way I do, cut your hair the way I do, wear a head covering, wear a hat, whatever it may be, and then you'll be for sure a Christian. But that is not what the Word of God says. And here we have a Jew, and Paul makes it very clear, that resteth in the law and maketh the boast of God. I mean, we have many people today that are unconverted, do not have the Holy Spirit, have never come to the point of regeneration, but make their boast to being a Christian, but yet by the fruit, the Bible says, we know them. And the fruit is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, okay? So the Bible says, remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we have been created unto good works. Why is that? What is he talking about? You and I that have been born again, by our works we demonstrate that we truly do love the Christ and the Holy Spirit has sealed us until the day of redemption. Because that's what the Bible says. And so the Jew here, he makes his boast. He says, I rest in the law. I make my boast of God. Surely I know God and God knows me. How many people have we talked to over the years when we've had those conversations where they say, I know God. And who are you to say that I don't know God? Who are you to judge me? But yet we're not judging them. We're only speaking what the Word of God says. So you and I, when we stand before God based upon what God has spoken to us. And the more understanding, clarity we have in the Scripture, the more accountability we have before God. I mean, do you think that God can show you and teach you all these things that the Bible speaks of and yet not hold you accountable for what God has shown you? Our accountability is great before a holy God. Because what does the Bible say? Remember that verse there in Hebrews chapter 12? It says, without holiness, you will not see God. So what is the work of the progressive sanctification of the Christian by the Holy Spirit? To make us more holy and more like Christ in everyday life, right? And so when we look here, the Jew says, I make my boast in the law or in God. And what does he say? And Paul, now look at the sarcasm. You know, people say, well, how can you be sarcastic? Paul was definitely one that was sarcastic. But Paul spoke truth and he spoke it in love. He didn't speak it to hurt. He spoke it in love. Because he knew that if the Holy Spirit would illuminate and give them understanding what he was saying, they would see themselves not as one that makes their boast in God, but a sinner that has absolutely sinned against their Creator and in desperate need of repentance. It's the problem with evangelism today. We skip repentance and we just go to believe and that's good enough. It's not. Let's see it. The Bible says again, Paul speaking, you can see the sarcasm opening up here. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, and knoweth his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. I mean, how many people say, well, I'm instructed out of the law, I know what God's word says, but yet by their life there is no fruit. There is no understanding, there is no wisdom, there is no knowledge. I mean, they're not a wise man. Maybe they're a fool, and they utter their whole mind all the time. They got everything to say. They say, listen to me. You need to be like me. You need to act like I do. You need to have the wisdom that I do. I've come to all these understandings. You just need to understand what I understand, and you'll be fine. Because, see, I know God. I make my boast of God. How many people do we encounter today when you come across people that are Christian that make these comments? But what does the Bible say? Paul, with sarcasm, he says, and knoweth his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. The sarcasm of our opening statement. And look what it says here in verse 19. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind and a light of them which are in darkness. I mean, how many people do we find that have the same understanding? Listen to me, you just need to follow me. You just need to do what I do. You need to act like I do. You need to look the way I look. You need to dress the way I look. Because see, I know God and God knows me. And I make my boast of God. And I rest in all these things. And I know that I'm doing well. And when I stand before God someday, I will say, listen to me, God, I've done very well for you. Look at all the things that I have done. Look at all the things that I've obtained. Look at all the things that I want to do for others. I mean, surely God will accept me. God understands my heart. I just want everybody to be like me. Is that person a Christian? The reality of it is he's not a Christian. He's a deceived individual, nothing more than a son of Belial. How do we know that? The Bible's very clear. Because you and I know that we fall short of the glory of God. How many days in a week? 7, right? And so what do we find here? Paul, he says, aren't thou confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind? I mean, we have people all around us saying, listen to me, you need to do it the way we do. We know the truth. We're the ones that have the understanding. We are the ones that have been given the truth. And you need to do what we tell you to do because God has given us secret revelation. God has spoken to us in visions, in dreams, and all the things that they talk about. But listen to me, I say God only speaks to me through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. So you know what? Take your dreams, take your visions, and get rid of them. Why do I say that? Because I don't need the dreams and visions. I need the Word of God, because the Word of God is sufficient and efficient for all things in life and practice, right? And so when we look at the Word of God, he says here, looking at them, aren't confident that thou thyself aren't a guide to the blind? I mean, look at all the false cults that are around here that are telling people all kinds of interesting things. Jehovah's Witness, maybe Mormons, and many other ones. But when you look here, they're confident. I mean, if you ever talk to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, they're confident that what they say is true. But when you take them to the Word of God, they don't like going to the Word of God. If you ever talk to a Mormon, they want to stick in the Book of Mormon. They want to listen to a man that had a vision, a man that told lies, a man that's in hell today because he never repented of his sins and embraced Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior. How do I know that? Well, that's a pretty strong thing to say. Oh, I believe it with absolute confidence. How do I know that? Because God said so. There's only one Jesus, right? Jesus Christ of Scripture, Yahweh in the flesh, important. Okay, so when we look here, we have a Jew here, he's confident, and he says, thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. And it says, and an instructor of the foolish. I mean, isn't that an interesting terminology? Look at the terminology that's being used here. An instructor of the foolish. I mean, here we have a Jew. As the Bible says very clearly, he's confident, makes his boast in God, he resteth in the law, he has no problem, he goes to bed at night and he sleeps well. But he's deceived in his heart. Because it's never been by works. Never been by works, it's always been by grace. It's not, you know, some people say, well, in the Old Testament it was a different dispensation, so because of that, people were saved in a different way. That's not what my Bible says. It has always been by grace through faith. Amen? I mean, you know that to be true because that's what the Bible says. Even here we have the Jew. I mean, what is he? Well, he's an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the, look at the word here, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Look at that word form. Let's read it again. It says, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. When the false teachers come into a church, who's the first ones they go after? The babes in Christ. Why is that? Because they can influence them. Because when you're a babe in Christ, and I remember being a babe in Christ, believe it or not, when I was a babe in Christ, I read everything that said Christian on it. Good enough for me. It's Christian. I'll read it. Today I'm much wiser than that. They had to have a book burning and realize that many of those that I read were not Christian at all. But I didn't know any better. And so you and I, how do we instruct them? We instruct them in truth and in knowledge because we have a knowledge of the holy. We have a walk with God. We have a relationship with the Savior of the world, especially to them that believe. An intimate relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son, by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. So what do we find here? Again, he says in verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? How can you get up and say, do not steal, it's wrong, God says do not steal. It is one of the commandments of God, thou shalt not steal, but yet you steal, but yet you preach, thou shalt not steal, but yet you steal. Nothing but hypocrisy. Nothing but a phony lie, a deception of the heart. I mean, I want you to understand when you're looking here, all the sarcasm that's being pointed here. But I want you to realize that when Paul is speaking to us, he's speaking in love. He's speaking because he loves them. He wants them to see things about themselves. And he knows Paul can't do it. He knows God must do it. He knows the Holy Spirit must do it. We look at the Word of God here. He's speaking to them. You say, thou shalt not steal. That is good. But why do you steal? Why do you preach, thou shalt not steal? But why do you steal? So we see the hypocrisy of the argument. Because look what he says here. He doesn't leave it there. Thou sayest that a man should not commit adultery. But dost thou commit adultery?
Maybe we say, listen to me, it's wrong to commit adultery, but yet you are one that is sitting in adultery. Now, we can take that a lot of steps further. We can say, well, I've never committed adultery in the physical act. Well, the Bible says that Jesus made it even more clear that if you look on a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. How do we know that? Well, that's what the Bible says. And so what are we finding here? Listen to me, I rest within the law. I make my boast of God. I know God's word. I'm smart. God knows me. Good enough. Listen to me, I can tell them not to do it even though I do it. I can say, don't do this, don't do that, even though I'm doing exactly what I tell them not to do. Like the old saying, don't do as I do as I tell you to do. That is absolutely foolishness, comes from the pit of hell, to be honest with you. How can you expect one to do something that you are engaging in? And so we look here very clearly again. Paul speaking, the sarcasm of the moment. I want you to realize, he's trying to show them that they may speak with their lips all these great things, but yet their heart is far from who? From God. I mean, you and I, we say, I rest in Christ. Christ alone, right? Solo Christos. We like that. Why do we like that? Because that's what the Bible preaches. You know, it doesn't matter what a man says. Man says, well, this is the way I see it. I don't care how you see it. I want to know what God says. I want to know, God, what do you say here? But I want you to see some conclusion here. Because what does he say? Again, in verse 22, thou sayest, a man should not commit adultery. Doest thou commit adultery? Thou sayest, a whore's idols. Dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that maketh the boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? I mean, can you imagine? You say, listen to me. The Bible says that if you break any part of the law, that your righteousness is going to send you to hell. Because the righteousness you say you have is righteousness you believe you have by yourself apart from God. You and I that are born again, we say, listen to me, I have an alien righteousness. It's not my own. It's Christ Jesus the Lord. Why is that? Because it's been imputed to me. The only thing I had to offer to God was my sin. And God took my sin and put it upon Christ. And we imputed our sin to him, and he imputed his righteousness to us. So how do we stand holy before a holy God based upon the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I do say my Lord and Savior because I do believe he is my Lord as much as my Savior, regardless of the terminology that we find used today when we talk about a word such as Lordship Salvation. Lordship Salvation says, God changed my life, changed my heart forever, and with holy obedience to him, I want to follow him at all costs because I want to be more like Christ. Amen? That's the Romans 8:29. That's what the Bible says. And so we say, to God be the glory. You can take your terminology and fight me all you want. I'm not going to budge an inch on it. You know why? Because the Bible says, he's my Lord and Savior. That's important. Make a point, but grab a hold of it. Here we have a man here. He says, thou that maketh thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoreth thou God. I want you to notice our question mark. The question mark. I want you to realize that when you and I have conversation with people, questions are good. It makes people think. You know, today we got to get out of, you know, people have a 30-mile-long wide theology with about an inch deep. I'd rather be 1-inch-long theology and 30 feet deep. Because you got to be a thinker today. You got to think. You know, if you went into all your schools, they don't want you to think. They just want you to think like they think. That is not what it's about. Academia says, you just need to think the way I think. And everything will be well. Your narrative, you've got to have the same narrative I do, or I will not listen to you. I will not have the conversation because you do not believe the way I believe. That is a lie. We all have our ideas. But you and I, as a child of God, we don't have our ideas. We stand true to the Word of God, for God has said, the Lord has said, whatever needs to be said. Right? So what do we find here? He says very clearly. Now I want you to look here. He's bringing it into a little bit of a conclusion here. Verse 23, thou that maketh thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Look at the question. Now what's he say? He comes here, for the name, I want you to notice the name. How important is God's name to him? Oh, God's name is vitally important to holiness. I want you to get a hold of that. Look what he says. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed. Now when we think of the word blaspheme, we don't like that word because we know what it's saying.
Look what he says here. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Why would a Gentile want to believe in a Jewish God? They know your hypocrisy. They know what you say and what you speak, but they know the life you're living. They see it and they know that you are a fake. But thanks be to God. Amen. I mean, when I look at the Word of God, I say, thanks be to God. When I think about my salvation, I say, thanks be to God. When I think about Him giving me a new heart, thanks be to God. Nothing to do with me. I'll tell you what, after I got saved, I sinned, believe it or not, every day ever since. Do you understand that? Then I think, but God, rich in mercy, for that great love He loved me with. Love that verse. Amen. Romans 2:4 or Ephesians 2:4. Look what he says here. He says again, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For your phony hypocrisy, for you saying you're keeping the law when you're not keeping the law, for your boast in God when you don't even know God, and God does not know you. Look what happened in Matthew 23 when Jesus talked to the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe, 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 woe. And I want you to know, when you think of the word woe, you don't have it used much today, but in this King James Bible it says woe, and woe is woe. And what did he say? He totally condemned the Jewish leaders and rabbis of the day. Because they were making their boast in God. They were making their boast in keeping the commandments. But yet they broke the first and foremost commandment. Which one was that? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. How could they hate the Son of God, Yahweh in the flesh, if they truly love God with all their heart, mind, and soul? They didn't even know God. And Jesus shows that in 11 verses in Matthew 23. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But what does the Bible say here in our text? It says, Paul speaking. Now you and I know that when we were saved, it was wholly by grace through faith and not of ourselves, a gift of God. The Bible says very clearly that when we came to faith in Christ, we are thankful to God. I mean, to see Christ the way a Christian sees Christ is amazing. Amazing grace, right? We are Christ-like ones. Remember they first called him Christian in Antioch. We are Christ-like ones. We have been called by God to be holy unto Him. That is what the Bible says. The Bible says, without holiness, we shall not see God. We have been called by the Word of God to be obedient to the Word of God. How much do I love my Lord? By my obedience to His commands. If God says, don't do this, I don't do it. If the Bible says this, I do it. Why is that? Because this shows and demonstrates my love to Christ, my love to God. And what does the Bible say? Remember Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost has been given unto us. That love has been given unto us. God has given us all we need to be obedient to the Word of God. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Bible. He has given us instruction. He has given us clarity. He has spoken to us through Scripture. And we say, to God be the glory. Where would we be without a Bible? Amen? I mean, the truth of it is, what if they decided to take our Bibles away? You know what? Be honest with you, I'm not boasting, but I tell you what, there's enough Scripture here to take me the rest of my life. Why is that? Because that's God's Word. This is His holy Word. I read it because I know this is God's Word. That is why we read it. Not because it's a man's Word. This is God's Word. And God is speaking to us even here today in 2021. What's He say? Verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth. If, look at our conditional, we could use the word since. Remember, we've talked about that in the languages, if, since, and we're going to see another language variant as we come into the Scripture here. Look what He says. He says, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. Now I want you to know the whole purpose of these three chapters is to show all men, all women, they can't do it. Remember, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, do you think the Sermon on the Mount just teaches some kind of morality? You do all these things and you'll be well with God and everything will be well with your soul. The Sermon on the Mount shows you that the foundation has to be Christ or it's sand and your ship will sink in the day of your death. It means nothing. No different than we find here with circumcision. Because that's what we're talking about here. He says, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. In other words, you can have a circumcision in the flesh. It means absolutely nothing to God. But if we're going to say, I'm going to be a keeper of the law, I have my circumcision, and that'll be good, that's not enough. He says, even though you have a circumcision of the flesh, I want you to be obedient to me in all things, and I want you to follow me at all costs. When the Bible says this, he says, I want you to be a disciple, but I want you to count the cost. How much will it cost me to be a disciple of Christ? Jesus said, it will cost you everything. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. What did he say?
Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. What do we mean to that? It means, listen to me. How much will it cost me? It will cost me my life. Amen. That's what he said. So he said, if you're going to follow me, count the cost. And remember, when you come into John 6:65, when they counted the cost, they said, whoa, this is too hard a saying for us. We're out of here. Did he think that he was surprised, taken back? Oh my goodness, I can't believe what they've done. I better soften it up and make it better so they'll come back to me. You kidding me? He knew. He's God in the flesh. Right? I love John 6. I'm sure you do too. But look what he says here. Again, what does he say? Well, back into verse 25 again. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, look at our contrast here. The uncircumcision, okay, of the contrast of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Question mark. Paul has great questions here. If you get into a conversation with one about the gospel, questions are vital. What do questions do? They certify everything that's going to be said. Because sometimes when we're asked questions, we think, you know, I don't know. You know, there are questions that you get asked, you say, I don't know. That's a good question. They always say, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I agree. But sometimes questions are very thought-provoking. You can't just give a quick answer. Because Paul, what's Paul want to do? He wants the Jew to think this through systematically. So let's see how he does it. Again, what does he say? We'll come back into verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Remember, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness? Can I give you an understanding of our word counted? In the Greek, the actual word counted is imputed. Counted to him for righteousness. Imputed for him to righteousness. Same Greek word, and that's in that verse. That's important. Languages are important. Doesn't mean we got to speak it, but they are important. So what do we find? Look what he says. Therefore, verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, that word nature is important, if it fulfill the law, who's the only one that ever fulfilled the law for you and I? Jesus Christ. Right? He came to what? Fulfill the law. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so, right? And so what do we find? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? Now we're getting to it here. Look what he says here. Very clearly, he says, judge thee who by the letter, we're talking about the law, the letter of the law. Look what he says. And circumcision doth transgress the law. So we see that, can circumcision save me? Absolutely not. Physical circumcision can't save anyone. Okay? I don't care whether you're Jew or Gentile. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, right? And so we say, amen. Remember, we say, God, I want to know exactly what you say. I want to hear what you say. I want to be obedient to your word. I want to follow you with my whole heart. Lord, give me understanding. Give me clarity. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Teach me. Instruct me. Show me these things. Holy Spirit, if you don't do it, I can't see. Yes. Amen. That's what your Bible says. And so what do we find here? Paul says, back into verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter of the law, and circumcision, doth transgress the law? Now, verse 28 and 29, he brings a conclusion. Now, I want you to see it. And I know apart from the Holy Spirit, you won't see it. But I believe you can see it. To you that are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, I believe you can see it. I believe he's going to show it to you. Now see what he says. For he is not a Jew. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. You know what that'd be like saying? Oh, he's a Christian outwardly. He does Christian things. Maybe he goes to church, and maybe he goes here and does a Christian work, or feeds the poor, or clothes the people, or all these Christian things that people say, oh, that's really Christian. Probably heard the terminology. But he is a Jew. Now look what he says here. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision. Remember, circumcision was part of the law. Was circumcision right? Circumcision was a covenant between God and Israel. Okay? That's where circumcision came. God said, every man child born on the eighth day, that boy needs to be circumcised. God said, that's the law. And guess what the Jews do even till today? They circumcise their boys when they're born on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? Pretty interesting in medical terminology. Because on the eighth day, the body naturally produces vitamin K. What is vitamin K? It's a blood clotting agent in your body that God put there that will clot blood on the eighth day of a child being born. That's what your Bible says. And that's why it was the eighth day. So what do we find? He says again, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. You know, people walk around and say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe this, I believe that, I'm a Christian. Matter of fact, I know a lot of stories about Christianity. I know a lot of the Bible. I have verses memorized. I know all these things. But by your fruit, you'll know them. By the words they speak, you will know them. By watching their life, you'll know them. Because you can't hide hypocrisy forever. Time and truth go together. Always do. Fruit always gets shown. Always does. But look what he says here. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Is that what makes one a Jew, just by a circumcision? Absolutely not. These here have rested in God, they rested in their law, they make their boasts of God, but yet because of all these things they say, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not do this, do not do that, yet they do it, but they tell others not to do it, even though they are ones that are partaking in it. That is hypocrisy. That shows you that they are not Christian, they are not born again, and in this context, they're not a true Jew. And we use the word true Jew as one that is truly converted unto Christ Jesus, the Lord. Okay? And so we find it here. He says, but... one of the greatest words in the Bible is, but God, right? We love them two words, but God. Matter of fact, Martin Lloyd Jones preached a sermon called But God. It was one of his best sermons I've ever heard him preach, and I've heard a lot of his sermons. So if you pull it up online, you should listen to it. It's a great sermon. But as we look here, it says, again in verse 28, we'll come into 29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. When the gospel goes forth, what does it go to? Does it go to the externals, so you look and act like a Christian? I mean, look how many people have failed in that regard, trying to grab a hold of their children, conform them to a legalistic matter, make them do this, make them go to church, make them do all these things. You need to do it because this is right. And you would tell them, and as long as they're conforming to this, they're Christian, they said the prayer, they went forward an altar call, they accepted Jesus at them in his heart, whatever the terminology they want to use. And my little boy, he is a born-again Christian because he did that at 12 or 10 or 15 or 20. And even though he's living like the devil now, I know he's a child of God. I know if he died today, he'd be in heaven. I'll be very careful with that. That's just a false misrepresentation of the Word of God, because when a person is born again, what do you know for sure about that person? They're a changed heart. And no matter how much time passes, their heart has been changed by God.
Hallelujah.
For His glory. So look what he says here. He says, verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Now when we look at our word Jew, we're talking about a true Jew, a true believer, not one full of hypocrisy. See, we can tie this into ourselves also. We can say, he says he's a Christian, but I'm afraid I am a true Christian, for my life has been changed by Christ. Why? Because when you and I were born again, God gave us a new heart.
That's why we look at the Bible just like the book of Hebrews says, we are new covenant believers in Christ. There is no other name under heaven. We understand that. Come back into verse 29. You've seen all the sarcasm that's been played out before us. We have all the sarcasm because what does he say? But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision and that, the circumcision and that of the heart. Yes. Yes. This is what changes lives. Not outward conformity, not looking the part, not wearing a tie to church, having your hair off your ears. That's not what makes you a Christian. The one that makes you a Christian is God. God does that. All by himself. And some of you know exactly what I'm speaking of because some of you have been given a new heart.
Hallelujah.
That's what your Bible says. So what do we find here? He says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And that circumcision and is that of the heart. Now when God does a work, he does a work on the heart. Change heart. How do you know one's saved? Change life. Time and truth go together. I am his. He is mine. And I am confident. And I repent every day of my sin because I see it in myself. Every day. But God. Don't forget that part. Now I want you to see this. Verse 29. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Now I know when we look at our word here, it says in the spirit. But in the languages, it is by the Holy Spirit. That's important. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Look what he says here. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Who did that? The Holy Spirit. What do you mean? He gives and works regeneration, salvation, faith in Christ. Our word in is translated by the same Greek word of by. Same word. Just translation. Same word. In, by. Not every time you see the word by is it in. But when we look here where it says in, we can say by. It's the same Greek word. How is one born inwardly? By the Holy Spirit. See it with me. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, a heart. And circumcision is that of the heart, not the physical circumcision that the Bible talks about also. We're talking about the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. Look what he says. And not in the letter of the law. Not in the letter of the law. Not in being a law keeper. Praise God. I mean, can you imagine coming to the end of your life and saying, well, God, did I do good enough? And anybody that knows the word of God would say, no, I haven't. I've been a horrible Christian. They say, well, Jonathan Edwards said, this is what he said in one of his 70 treaties, as you would say. He says, I want to be the most holiest man on the earth and follow God with all my heart more than any man that's walking on the earth today. That is my goal. Does that mean that he's boasting himself to be some great spiritual giant? Are you kidding me? Jonathan Edwards was a man full of humility and heartache. But his goal was to be the greatest Christian of his day that was walking on the earth in the flesh. That should be our goal, honestly. Look what he says again. Verse 29. He brings it all to a conclusion here. He says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision in that of the heart, in the spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and not in the letter. And what does he say? And whose praise is not of men. You didn't do it. You couldn't keep the law. You couldn't do all these things. No. What does he say? He says very clearly, he says, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Not of men, but of God. You are saved here today because of God. And you are saying, to God be the glory. Why do I say that? Because Paul says, listen to me, all this Jew here, he's trying to be a law keeper. He's trying to make his boast in God. He's trying to do all these things, and he's going to keep the law, and he's going to do this, he's going to do that. He's going to say, don't do this, don't do that. But he's doing it. The hypocrisy, the wickedness of this man that he's describing as Jew in general. And he makes it very clearly, and he says, listen to me. He says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly in the circumcision and that of the heart by the Spirit and not by the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Hallelujah. We got a lot to be thankful for, amen?
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's what the Bible says, and we say, to God be the glory, and we look and we think, thank God I don't have to be a law keeper. Thank God I don't make my boast in God and be a hypocrite. I make my boast in God because God saved me, God loved me, God so loved me, He gave me a son.
Amen. Thank you, God.
He died for me. He came with purpose, he died for me, and he rose again the third day for my justification.
Thank you.
And then I say, God, I take none of that glory to me, none of it. And I give God all the glory. Why do you do that? Well, because you know God did it. And when Paul comes to that whole conclusion of the Jew guilty before God, all the way through here, and then he says, brings the truth in, and he says very clearly, because he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision that of the heart by the Holy Spirit, and not by the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Praise God.
And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that was his lost. You say, well, I'm one that's dead in my sin here today. Now, there was a day I was dead in my sin. There was a day I didn't understand. There was a day I couldn't comprehend. There was a day I thought I was good. I went for an altar call. I did what they told me to do. I said my thing and said my line and said my prayer, and they told me everything is fine with your soul. And yet, as I read the Word of God and as the Holy Spirit worked upon my own personal life, He brought me to an understanding that you're lost. And I said, I heard it. God said, you're lost. And boy, anxiety, fear. And I remember the conversations I had within myself. Wait a minute. That pastor told me I was okay. What do you mean I'm lost? He told me if I did this, I was good. What do you mean I'm lost? Have you ever tried to argue with God? It don't work. Since you're lost. And I'll tell you what. When I did get saved, biblically born again by the Holy Spirit through regeneration for the glory of God for His own purpose, it changed my life forever.
Absolutely.
And I had battles before me. Deep, hard battles before me. Because I had sin that I had to kill and get rid of. Because He finally showed me, you're lost. But when I repented of my sins, I was so thankful to God for Him showing me my sin. And the first thing you do, remember the Bible says, repentance towards God. That's God the Father. Repentance towards God the Father and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God the Father sent God the Son to be my Savior. And if you see yourself in a hopeless situation, repentance. Go lost at Jesus' feet. So Luther said, go lost at Jesus' feet. I can't get you to repeat a prayer with me and you're going to be saved. I can't say it's this simple. Just believe in Jesus, you're good, you're in, you don't have to worry about anything. I've done that. I've probably got 1,000 souls that I have to give an account for. Giving them that false hope. At least. Because that's what I knew. That's what I was told. I was lied to. Because that was man. That wasn't God. God changes everything. Amen? But when God speaks, we listen. But the greatest grace is when God gives us ears to hear and eyes to see. Whoa! That's grace. And if you're lost here today, go lost at Christ's feet. He'll save you. Because if you have any inkling that there's a sin too great that he can't forgive, you're lied to by the devil. Because the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all sin. That's what the Bible says. And he died for you. Because when God calls and sets his mark upon you, and he brings you to repentance and faith, it's life-changing. And you can face anything. I don't care what it is. Because God just made himself real to you. And you have a change of heart. You're a total new creation. Wow. That's salvation. Salvation. Wow. I don't know how why God saved me or why he saved anyone, but he did. And I'm thankful to God, 100%. Not by the letter of the law, but of God. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just think about that for a minute. Wow. Praise God. I mean, if you know Christ here today, you have a lot to be thankful for. Man, all praise and glory go to him. God, you saved me. You bought me. You paid my price. You washed my sins away. I am justified before you based upon the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be my Savior. And you did that before the foundation of the world. What can I glory in but you? What can we glory in but him? Wow, what a Savior. And you know what? To you that are saved, we have a lot of work ahead of us. And we need to do it for the glory of God. You need to wake up every morning and say, glory to God, I'm alive. Glory to God, he gave me another day. Glory to God, he gave me food today and clothes on my back. Now, whatever fall over my head. Glory to God, it ain't no glory to me. Glory to God. Why is that? Because it all goes to him. God does what he wants for his own pleasure, for his own purpose. And we say, to God be the glory. We just sang the song this morning. To God be the glory. That's where we're at. And we say, amen, amen, amen. I am thankful that God saved my wretched soul. And I want everyone I know to see this Christ whom I intimately and personally know. And I pray, God, that you will save sinners and bring them unto yourself for your glory. Because it's all about God. Show me your glory. It's Christ and Christ and Christ and Christ. That's it. Nothing matters in this life. Christ, 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 my Lord and Savior. Yes. Amen.